Mike and Miana gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Miana gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for week 7 of Big Brother 22. My name is Mike Bloom, here to dive into the tiger pit to contend with all the extraterrestrial activity that happened this past week. It's the B&B. We might be talking about aliens. Who the hell knows at this point? Let me welcome in the star-studded panel, speaking of extraterrestrial, the green-eared snow tiger of the RHAP universe, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I guess that's a compliment, because the other one was like a spotted pygmy something, which I feel like could be used to be an insult, right?
There was a spotted pygmy tiger hawk, which looked like they took one of those Hedwig stuffed animals from like Universal Studios and put a bunch of googly eyes on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like. I loved those like horrible makeshift stuffed animals for the veto competition. But I, at the same time, also want to own one. But anyway, I digress. The Masked Singer is back, and I'm so happy to be talking about everything. About Big Brother.
Well, there was a Masked Zinger in this episode. Yes. So I guess that we're not too far away. And someone who just shot me the finger guns upon what I'm assuming was a pitch perfect delivery of that pun. We, of course, are always happy to welcome this person back to the B&B, no matter what the show. Allie Lasher. Allie, how are you?
I'm great. I'm nervous, but also, a little let down. Last time I checked into the B&B, you guys were lit, as maybe Puya would say. Mike Bloom was drunk last time, and now it's like a lot less exciting. But no, I'm excited. I'm excited to be here with everyone sober on this Saturday afternoon.
I don't know.
To be fair, last time we recorded with the three of us was on a Saturday afternoon as well. So it's not even the time or day that has some sort of difference. It's just the level of sobriety.
Yeah, because it was like exactly the same time, I feel like. It's like a Saturday afternoon or whatever, getting toasty. But that was so fun. Maybe we should have brought it back. Whenever Allie's on, we'll just drink a bottle of champagne.
I mean, listen, that's how some people are maybe getting through this bit of a stretch of Big Brother 22. Of course, if you are a Davon / outsider fan, it was a frustrating week between obviously the HOH win, the infighting between the suspicions that David was the rogue vote, and then culminating in the boot of Davon after she had really a few up and down weeks in particular most recently. But, you know, Allie, this is the first time that we've had you on this season. I know you've done a bunch of catch up for the Big Brother 22.
Put me on blast.
Well, I'm intrigued, though, because I do feel like watching Big Brother from a binge perspective is markedly different from like doing that week to week.
It's
tough to separate, obviously, because you haven't been watching it week to week up to this point. But like, what have your thoughts been about the season so far when you sort of, you know, binged it all at this point?
Well, let's chat about that, because I think one time I did a Rob Big Brother podcast where I did the same thing where I watched in like a big chunk. And part of me is in the last few seasons of Big Brother has really questioned, like, would I still be watching the show if I wasn't potentially participating in podcasts about the show? And then this season, it was like, I don't really care. I stopped at episode 11 and I was watching in order. It's quarantine. Like, I aspire to take up the time watching the show. And I just couldn't get through it. And so I was like, you know what? Even if an opportunity to podcast comes along, I can't keep watching the show. Like, there's no joy in it for me at this point. And that's why it's like, I love the B&B, because you guys find a way to have joy in some more joyless seasons of reality television. But then you guys asked, and I was like, for the B&B, it's the only podcast that I would catch up for, because I can't miss the opportunity to hang out with you guys. So selfishly, I went back into it. And so it was weird, because I didn't mute the hashtag. I didn't stop following the feeds accounts that I would follow. So I knew what was going on. And part of that made me even less interested in watching it, right? Like, the conversation around the season of Big Brother, while important, makes you not want to watch, you know, Memphis get 500 HOHs and like the, and then so, but seeing it in a binge was honestly, I expected worse. There was more fun than I expected than translates in the Twitter world, right? Like there were certain moments that I really liked watching, especially with the people who were in the house, you know. Kaser was on the block when I stopped watching last time. So there's like a lot of people we lost that that made some good moments. So that was a nice surprise. And then also some of it was so much worse than translates to Twitter. Like a lot of what we're going to talk about and fill me in on the feeds and the stuff. I'm just coming in. I'm basically I became a casual, but, just the way that Memphis talks strategy is so frustrating and so much worse than you even hear about on Twitter. Like the way he's just so patronizing and like doesn't wait for feedback to read the other person. And it's just like, oh my God, get him out, get him out. So that's a long answer of like, it was kind of a torturous, but somewhat fun out like couple hours long process and catching up.
Well, what were the things that were the fun parts for you? Do you remember any of that? Were they like the like small character moments or like was there something in particular? Because I think that that's still there. And I think that there are elements of that when you're not so mired down in all of the obnoxiousness that's going on and all of the uncomfortable conversations that need to be had. Like you still can have those things.
I put a couple little notes, a couple highlights. Wait, I am realizing I did. My brother is still watching Big. Honestly, my brother should be here, not me. He's been watching Big Brother like every week. But he was like, Davon was on the challenge, and then it connected to me because like Julie, the Zingbot, like he was responding to the Zingbot saying that. Mm-hmm. Which, love the plug for the challenge. But I did not appreciate Davon in the, you know, 5 seasons of television or 4 seasons prior to this that I had her, when she's like, Christmas is canceled. Coal for you, coal for you, coal for everyone. Like I laughed at that. Like I laughed at some of the DRs that Davon had. Cody, this is like a personal moment. Cody shouting out Pauly in his diary room. I'm like, why no mention of Kara? I was like, when's Kara getting a shout out?
And why no mention of the Kickstarter or the Indiegogo that is so sorely in need of funds to get Pauly's movie off the ground?
Yeah, use your power for good, Cody.
And then some of the strategy too, like Danny thinks she's so slick and I'm just out here like, you're not that slick. Like, you know, like same, like, you know, you love to hate people sometimes. Like in part of Big Brother is hating the majority alliance in the house. I feel like it's become excessively awful the last few seasons for sure. But like, there still is that like, oh, I'm rooting against this person in the HOH, even though I know what happens. I still find myself being like, oh, come on, put the hydrant together. And it's like, no, it's Memphis, you know? So I do think there is some joy left, but I totally understand the people who have fallen off or who just listened to B&B because it's still fun. Because I have also fallen off. I'm back, baby. I'm back.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a hot take. And especially Liana, someone who like pays so much attention to the feeds and the episodes. I'd love to see if you agree or disagree that like, I actually feel like the episodes are at least replacement level this season. Like, I feel like there hasn't been anything that has been like flagrantly misrepresented. There hasn't been anything from a strategy perspective that's really been like on the cutting room floor immensely. You know, even something like the core four or the four prime, which hadn't been brought up for a while, like gets shoehorned in after the fact. And maybe it's just because the gameplay at this point is pretty straightforward, where it's like committee versus outsiders with some interplay in between. But actually, you know, I think in the past, or maybe the complaints have been like these episodes are trash. I actually think that, you know, maybe it's just because of the quality of stuff going inside the house that the episodes themselves have been okay to sometimes good. And maybe that's also taking to Ali's point as well, that like maybe just watching the episodes and not checking out the feed stuff and really getting the context behind them maybe lifts that tide a bit.
Yeah. So I would say like the beginning of the season when Julie just kept bringing up the committee. At the time, the committee really wasn't real, but as a byproduct of everyone within the committee continuously winning, it became a thing. So like retroactively, yes, they were representing what was going on. But at the time, that wasn't necessarily correct. I would say now, it like the past couple weeks especially, I think have really represented what's going on in the House because it's so clear cut. And I mean, some of the stuff they have to work on because, you know, Allie, I don't know, but there have been a ton of wall yellers that have come. And so that's been something that the show doesn't want to acknowledge.
I wasn't watching the show, but Allie was yelling.
Goes to the wall. I don't know what's going on.
No, I know from Twitter. I'm just like regurgitating like tweets. Like at Liana says,
at BB update says at 3:47 p.m.
Danny, you're not that slick.
Yeah, believe me, I have things to yell.
Yeah. And so they've had to sort of work around that, which has been really interesting to see because, you know, they showed, for example, Ian's like aha moment. With that all came because of a wall yeller. Like that was not because Ian figured anything out necessarily, but they can edit around that. So in terms of the edit being deceiving, I would say the misrepresentation of the alliances in the beginning and then all of the sort of external wall yeller stuff. But from a feeds perspective, it's been exceptionally frustrating because they cut feeds for a lot of little things.
Right.
And that's been really annoying because you feel like you're being deceived by the feeds. Whereas like, it was always like, well, the feeds are the real thing. And then the show is what we will compare to see if they're representing accurately. But now you're not even sure if the feeds are representing things accurately. So that's also like annoying.
Yeah. Because for those who don't put an ear to the ground in terms of the feeds, I believe the feeds were down for what, close to 24 hours?
Yeah. 24 hours almost. Yeah.
That is bananas. That's one entire day. And look, there's a lot of days in Big Brother, but that is an entire day just not spent watching the feeds. And look, again, maybe some people are not exactly glued to the feeds as they have been in past seasons, but that is still bananas to me. Is it just a matter of like image protection from that regard, or is it more down to like the danger that people might be, you know, interfering in the game by yelling things and they want to make sure like at least the feedsters don't hear about it and they can lock it down?
Do you think Perrin like kicks back and enjoys like a plain yogurt and like enjoys the time off? Or do you think he's like, you know, it's like when you're slow at work, you can never enjoy it because you're like stressed about being slow. Is it like one of those things? Or is he like, oh, with just like, you know, a refreshing, I feel like room temperature water and plain yogurt.
Nice and tepid.
We found out he likes spicy tacos, so that's some character development for sure.
I'll ignore that fact.
But I feel like it would have to have sour cream on it, right? Like you need that like base-esque dairy product.
Oh my god, I want to die. Honestly, holding down the feeds. I listened to some catch-ups on that also. So and all the feed people, Liana et al. But had to, because I just, as soon as you were saying that the feeds, and I knew the feeds were down because I saw that crisis, but I was like, does he enjoy it or is it sad? Probably sad.
Probably sad. He told me this morning because he was late for the morning update. He was like, when there's less going on, I'm later. Because it's kind of like when you have one thing to do all day, you like put it off. So I feel like it's that. I didn't ask about the tepid water, but I will next time.
Yeah, how did that temperature look when you were staring at the water? Was it like, could you give it a thermometer?
Let's see. Well, yeah, I can take temperature via eye, so I could definitely tell. Yeah,
that's your comic book name.
Really, we need you superpower in this pandemic more than ever, Liana, if you can tell temperature by eyesight.
They just put me outside of all the buildings and I just look.
Yeah, we need cloning more than ever, so we could clone Liana, Cleanas, put them in front of every government building and have them just stare at you and be like, 97.8, you're good to go.
Do you think you would get along with a clone of yourself?
Absolutely not.
No, okay. I feel the exact same way. I would hate a clone of me, which get along with a clone?
Would love each other so much because like Angela is such an incredible partner, but only she can only put up with my bits for so long. And like now I would get someone in Simpatico to just bounce bits off of each other like we're a particle accelerator just consistently moving back and forth at all times.
Oh my gosh, it would start the Big Bang but for puns. The pun,
the Bloom Bang. Big,
yeah, I don't know. Bang.
Oh no, that's a different
thing. That's a different story. I have a question, and I feel like, you know, again, I feel very insecure about my preparation here, but I hope the audience will forgive me because you would accept the invitation too, judgy audience member. But one thing that I found sort of reoccurring that I only maybe connected with because I was watching every single episode one after the other is the argument that Christmas and Devon get into about personal game not existing, and it's game versus personal game. And, you know, basically back from when I stopped watching, there were all of these conversations we've heard Kevin, Kacer, Devon, Bailey talk about sort of things that a lot of Survivor players have been talking about, that I'm glad CBS has been showing, the different sense of responsibility that people come in who are representing or feel like they're representing a community as opposed to just showing up and playing a game, and how that puts an unfair weight on their shoulders that their white counterparts don't feel. And so I was watching that part. And then when I got to this week's episodes where Devon says, and I hope I'm not jumping ahead too much, Devon says to Julie, like, what I'm mad about is that I was asking Nicole from a personal perspective, not from a game perspective, if she was lying, because I didn't want to be coming after David for something he didn't actually do. And it's almost like Nicole should have had a sense of that responsibility that she still didn't have. And so it's just the evolution of this sort of like personal game concept is very interesting to me. And potentially we are moving in a direction, and that's maybe what prompted Tyler to do that fake BS thing of like saying he wanted to go home, but then maybe didn't, and saying this isn't right about Devon and Bay being on the block together. But I don't know. Like, I do wonder if even though this feels like sort of like rock bottom for these kinds of issues on Big Brother, although I guess maybe last season really was, but who am I to say? But maybe we are moving in a direction where someone like Nicole would feel a sense of personal responsibility to take ownership of moves and think of it more as quote personal game and not just game. And that there isn't, yeah. I don't know.
I'm still working through that. I've been thinking about something very similar, actually, since Devon made that comment, because it really is like, you know, look at it no further than that aforementioned conversation where Devon's like, it was personal game, and Christmas says there is no difference. And that honestly just shows like this schism with, I think, the pressures with which they had to play. Now, look, is Devon a great Big Brother player? Not necessarily. Is Devon even a good Big Brother player after this week? It's a bit questionable, but I do think that there are certain things that BIPOC contestants need to think about in the things that they do that white contestants don't. And that's where that misunderstanding comes from, right? Like, Christmas is adamant that there's no such thing as personal game, because I think it's safe to say Christmas Abbott has never walked in being like, I need to represent all North Carolinians, even though Cody Calafiore doesn't think that's a word. I need to represent all blonde people. You know, like, there is not that extra little thing in the back of her head that typifies moves that she needs to make, knowing how she's going to be perceived in the outside world. She has that privilege, for lack of a better fact. And so I do think that someone like Nicole, like, I agree, I think from an objective perspective, should have seen how much Devon, you know, prides that sort of bond with David. I won't even say relationship, because again, it's been a very rocky road. And from a personal standpoint, really would have hurt Devon in not bringing it up. But I honestly don't think it crossed her mind, because she was so game focused and was not able to sort of step inside Devon's fantastically styled shoes and be able to see what things she sort of is compartmentalizing from outside the game. So I agree with you. I hope that this, if anything, gives reality TV contestants in general just like a better sense of empathy, I think, towards other people. I don't think any of us as, you know, cisgender white podcasters can ever say that like we know what the experience of a BIPOC person can be in 2020. But I think if you're able to at least like look at things from that different perspective and try to understand what things that you're doing or things that other people are doing and how that might be affecting people given everything that's going on both internally and externally, I agree that I think that would be a nice way to at least prevent, you know, these really devastating things from happening to these contestants.
And I don't mean to suggest that like Nicole should feel the same responsibility. I mean more in a different way of like Davon explains, I don't want to be like pinning something on a black man that he didn't do and be like berating him about it on television. I forget what word she exactly used. If that's something he didn't do, and I won't be mad at you. And like, is it a great game decision to be? And this is, I think, what's interesting discussion. Is it a great game decision for Nicole to say, okay, you're right. I did like, I'm lying and I'm going to come clean about it. But like, probably not. But from this personal game, like if someone puts something to you like that, it's like, yeah, I don't want to participate in this. And that's more of the response. I don't mean to say like that she could ever feel what Davon is feeling, but more like, does she have a responsibility as a human being with her eyes open in this country to be like, okay, I'm not going to do that. But then on the flip side, it's like you're saying about Davon being a good Big Brother player. I mean, very early in the game, it might have been advantageous for her to get rid of David, but she didn't want to because she was like, I'm not going to participate in getting rid of the only black man on the season. And so it's like, I feel like we do need to move into a place with casting where it's not like three people who feel a responsibility to each other and to the community. And if it's like something like on The Challenge, that kind of stuff doesn't come up because it's so much more diverse. So right. People are free to play a game and not totally not thinking about that, but certainly less like it yeah. comes up a lot.
The Challenge has other sort of sins that they
many problems for sure. So I just this concept of personal game, I think, is something I'm glad that we saw this season come up in conversation, and is something that I'm going to be thinking about as a viewer moving forward. Also, so, I can't believe you defined me as a podcaster. How dare you,
Mike?
How dare you?
All right. So I have a few thoughts on this discussion. So first of all, like one of the parallels that I see, and even though this is maybe less severe, but was Janet in season 39 with her decision to being willing to go after Dan when the girls came to her and said, this guy is doing stuff that makes me feel uncomfortable. And Janet was like, in terms of how I should behave as a human being within this world, I will not stand for Dan's behavior, making these girls feel uncomfortable. So she was willing to take the hit to her game, right? Not personal, her game, by being willing to vote him out. So like, that's a parallel that I see. Now, in terms of like defining personal versus game, this isn't chess or checkers, but we know we're playing chess, not checkers. This isn't like the game inherently is personal. Because yeah. you are playing,
because you are a person, and you are playing the game.
Yes, unless you're not. Ian, who took everything like an absolute champ. Like I don't.
I think that the second he found out that it was like, oh, it was just, you know, more numbers than you, not like dumb, quote unquote, dumb people playing Big Brother. He's like, oh yeah, that's fine. I'm good.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead, Leon.
No. So I mean, like you are picking other human beings that you want to work with for some reason. Right. And so I think that all of this, including like gender and race and all of that, comes into play when you are playing Big Brother, because it inherently has to, you know, like you aren't playing behind a wall. You can't see the other person. Right. Like that's just the nature of Big Brother. And this has kind of always, I think, been something in the conversation of game versus personal. And I think now it's really coming to a head because, you know, we as a society are reflecting on behaviors that maybe we're not so proud of and that we think we need to work on and fix and change. So they're no longer becoming acceptable as game. Whereas before it was like, well, it's just game. It's game, personal. Those two things are separate. But now because we're willing to confront more of those things, it comes into this personal game information, like amalgamation. Or I know a lot of people have been like, there's no such thing as personal game information. Like they are separate, but I don't think they are because they're inherently intertwined.
I will also say personally, Nicole should not have lied. Period. Because I think that fact is going to come out. And if you are not the first person to tell her, she's going to be pissed. And indeed, she was not the first person to tell her, and she's pissed about it.
Yeah, I think that. But I also think Devon bashing David was completely unnecessary. Right. So she came to Nicole being like, I don't want to be bashing him. And it's like, you don't have to be bashing him, because if you're not sure what he did, you can say, look, I don't trust him because of this reason, but I, you know, whatever. Like, you don't have to. She went so hard on David. She went so hard on him. She guilted him. She really didn't treat him well. And so, like, yeah, Nicole shouldn't have done this, but Devon also shouldn't have done this as well. So, like, it really makes things complicated. And that's why having these discussions where we're trying to compartmentalize and define these things well is really challenging, which is where I think, Allie, your whole original discussion comes up from, is that these things are being conflated with one another.
Before we move on to more fun and games, we're going to take a quick break to listen to a word from our sponsors. And we are back, so let's keep on keeping on. Well, speaking of Devon, let's actually touch a bit on our preseason predictions on Devon herself, because I know that there a lot of people were rooting for Devon. A lot of people are still rooting for Devon, as we've talked about. I'll start here.
It's my favorite part. I just want to say, I feel like you guys know that. I always love when you do your preseason predictions.
And it's so prolific, to the point where Liana, she brought up on the Masked Singer podcast, they just started doing that this season.
They stole our idea. I'm telling you, they were like, all right, so we're gonna do our like ballot, you know, predictions. We write them up, we lock them up in a ballot box. And I was like, that's what we do.
I'm sorry for a second. I thought Liana, you were doing a bit like Puya and Liana stole your Mike and Liana idea from the B&B, and I was like living for that. I was like, oh, you mean the actual show?
Can you steal from yourself is the question.
But it would be fun if you were like, this is B&B Liana, and then Masked Singer Liana's a poof.
It's like, yeah, how dare she? No, but it's funny, Allie, because what we did is then we're doing our own predictions. So like the Masked Singer stole from us, and then I stole from the Masked Singer who stole from us. So
it really is like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? Yeah. You know, can you steal from yourself?
I should trademark it.
All right. So I'm going to put this out here, because you know what? Again, she did some really bad stuff this week, but I don't give a crap to a certain extent. Devon was my winner pick. I was like, this season, I'm like, look, I could go with sort of like the typical, you know, person that I think would probably win the game, or like I'll put in someone who I think has some better stock than previous seasons and like would be a really fun person to root for. And so that's why I thought that Devon would take it all the way here. I said that she would get in with the first HOH, which I guess in this case was Cody, which would get her through pre-jury. I said she would put her acting skills to the test when she fakes crying to stay off the block. Which she did do her fake crying at some point, but I can't remember if it was staying off the block or not.
It was when she, I think, threw that HOH competition, and then she was like all upset about it.
Oh, yeah. And then she has at least three conversations that end with her giving a look to the camera like, can you believe this shit? And I said that after surprisingly losing her ally, Bailey, she goes on a comp tear to get to the finals, and her superhero name would be Stage Mom, after her career as an acting coach.
Is one comp a comp tear? Because then,
I mean, one is greater than zero.
For sure.
I wish we had you'd given your predictions to Allie, so while she was doing the binge, she could have been like, yes, yes, no, yes.
All those, yes, yeah. Checking it. This is the grocery list of predictions.
Okay, so I wasn't feeling as high on Devon. I did not make her my winner pick, but I did have her making jury. I said that she was going to have her best placement yet.
Okay, check. There we go. By one. Well, again, one is greater than zero.
That's right. I said she was going to win HOH for the first time. She won veto for the first. I think I just half misspelled credit. HOH. Yeah, half credit. I said she would get into another epic fight in the Big Brother jury house. This is who you lay with, which I do feel good about that happening. As soon as Nicole shows up.
Yeah, so like the proximity of Nicole or Tyler. When I interviewed Devon, she was actually, I think, had more fire directed at Tyler than Nicole, surprisingly enough. You know, when she did that eviction speech of like, some of you, you know, I asked if I was going home and you said, I don't know. She told me that she was specifically referring to Tyler there. So he is not looking good to her either.
So I thought, yeah, so that was really interesting to me, because I thought that was a reference to Nicole. But interesting. And then I also said that her comic book name would be Daybreak.
Is it Daybreak?
But it's like day break.
Like she'll like, oh, she'll like break your legs.
Like you break stuff, but it's like daybreak.
What's important to note here is that we can see each other and Liana like looking hopeful, like unrelentingly hopeful, while we just looked confused for the 3 seconds was like the highlight of my day.
Got it. Get it. Get it.
See, this is where you would need another Mike Bloom. The other Mike Bloom would have loved it. He would have killed it.
I don't know if that's true. I think the other Mike Bloom would have just made us three faces, like
just multiplied on top of it. I also want to give a shout out here while we're talking comic book names to Mandy, which is a like a Mandy, Mandy with three Y's on Twitter. She's been sort of doing her own illustrations of the house guests, and she's been incorporating some of the B&B comic book names into it. I know with Keisha, we had I'm trying to remember
the
what
cake
her
Crusader the was cake my Crusader, name. Yes,
with her catchphrase, "Anybody want kick?" famously. And one of my dreams came true because finally I can see now fleshed out Realtor the Living House, my comic book name for Janelle Pierzita. Mandy did the Lord, I mean Jeff's work, and made it happen, along with Silver Star the Living Legend, who is probably a much better superhero than Realtor the Living House. But it actually happened. We conceptualized superheroes. Thank you, Mandy. You've been putting out awesome work, and I hope we're able to feed the fire. Maybe Daybreak will be next so we can actually get more of an image of her.
Get it?
Yeah, I like think that should so be her catchphrase. Is get it?
Get it? That get it? Has dual meaning. Get it? Question mark. Get it? Period. Get it?
Get it?
Well, let's start getting into the games here, because as we mentioned before, Zingbot made an appearance. Of course, a socially distanced Zingbot, which was sort of like Zingbot doing a Vita with like on the balcony with this with the weird hair and the vest and doing Joe Exotic. It was so such a weird image that I couldn't get out of my head.
I would be much more interested in an Avita themed Zingbot than a Tiger King.
Don't zing for me, Argentina. Liana, what did you think about this year's zings? How do they, I don't know, you know, I think spoiler alert, we're going to be delving into Zingbot past in this game, but what did you think about this year's crop?
All right. Well, so first of all, we've chronicled Zingbot, as we've mentioned many a time, where he starts out, he gets married, he has a baby, the baby has a birthday. Then he becomes newly single, runs for president, gets exiled, commits a bunch of crimes, is on the run. So now it's just nice to know that the next iteration of Zingbot is running probably an illegal tiger zoo, which I think ultimately fits within the context of the Zingbot universe.
And so I know obviously they were trying to go for a Joe Exotic camouflage thing, which of course Big Brother right on the pulse of the times, only about 9 months late on this one. But do you think the reason why they also majorly made over Zingbot was like you said, he's like incognito after they, because I think he broke out of prison last season, and so now he's like in witness protection or like hiding from fugitives?
Yeah, let's see. He needed his help, their help to escape the Zingatarium before the Department of Zingland Security could catch him. So because
memorably played by Big Dick Johnson, I believe.
Big Dick Johnson was there. So he was charged with obstruction of justice and collusion with President Punton and Zings Against Humanity. So I don't know really how he got free. I think also the fact
he said that so seriously. I don't know exactly how he got free, but
was he acquitted? We'll never know. Was he on the run? Like, it's very unclear. The Chronicle of Zingbot matters too much to me. But it did seem like the tigers were like alien tigers, right? So right. I feel like that's consistent within the lore here.
Yeah.
Oh, now, your original question was about the zings. Sorry.
Yeah, the zings themselves. Were they like strong too? Here's my personal thought. So, because again, this game is going to, we touched upon the history of Zingbot last year. This time we're going to focus on the zings themselves. My personal belief, the Zingbot zings peaked in BB16. Mm-hmm. And where it was just like, it really felt like it was firing super rapidly. That was the Frankie Grande, why are you so tan when you're standing in your sister's shadow? That is, that's, you know, Cody, you don't piss anybody off except for Christine's husband. Like, that was when Zingbot was rapid firing. And then after that, there's like been maybe one or two good ones. So I'd say that personally, this one is like a bit par for the course, where I think the two that stand out are probably the Christmas one and the Nicole one. But outside of that, it's been like, it was fairly overall.
Yeah, I think the Nicole one was good because everybody loves a good zing of Nicole, because that was like, she loves to whine and cry is the sing song one. Every time I hear her voice, I want to bleeping die. The Enzo one could have been better. His was, what's more pathetic than a man in his 40s still calling himself the meow meow? Nothing. But it should have been, what's more pathetic than a man in his 40s calling himself the meow meow, like living in his mother's basement?
Yeah, or whatever.
So like something with that. But yeah, otherwise they were relatively generic. The Tyler one I liked as well, because what do you call someone who says they're the real winner, or like that gets the girl and $50,000, you know, whatever, not $50,000, a liar. That was funny.
I liked, this is, you know, maybe a little juvenile, maybe a little sophomoric, but I loved like Memphis. You, everyone knows you as Dan's number one, but you're really more of a number two.
Yeah, I did like that one. That
was hilarious. Like, because he is. Maybe because, like, I mean, I thought they were better than last year. I thought they, like, actually took some hits at people. I mean, saying Danny looks old is, like, just not true. So, like,
yeah,
not
she's
really
like
a big hit.
Yeah, 30. I mean, I guess when you first play the game, when you're, like, 21, I guess by default, you're going to look older, but not, like, she look like a skeleton or something.
I have one. I have some zings that I've prepared.
Oh, can you please read them off?
And when I say prepared, I rattled them at the top of my notes, knowing this week was Zingbot before even doing my binge. Just like, America hates you, zing. This is to the whole house. You tarnished the reputation of how good Survivor Winners at War was, zing. And Christmas, you stink, zing. And then Christmas. The perfect crime. Go by Christmas when you're really the Grinch. Zing.
Oh, I like that one.
And then I have a Julie Chen one, but, you know, maybe we don't need that.
Allie, be kind. Don't judge.
This doesn't really work. Maybe we could workshop this jing.
Okay.
I want it to be like, Julie Chen, I know you think you're in a glass case of Moonves, but feel free to drop the name. Like, we'll forget. You did that. Zing. Does that work?
Case of Moonves? What does that mean?
A joke, like, it's like I'm in a glass case of emotion. Like, she's trapped because she started using the name and now she can't get out of using the name. I feel like she feels trapped using the name. Yeah, you know.
She's doubled down. She's JC Moonves now. So, yeah. Like.
He also, you know, gave a shout out to her son, which I want to know if that sort of like. Says she did. Didn't we not hear this?
It was so funny.
So stupid. Like, I think she forgot to wish Charlie Moonves a birthday personally and was like, oh crap. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Charlie Moonves, as well. Of course.
Well, I just, okay. So I actually, despite being mean to Julie in the zing that didn't land, like, I felt like Liana looking at you guys to help me out and you didn't. Which is fine. I still like, hey, you stink. Zing.
That's a good one.
I would like that.
That's a classic.
But Julie, I think, has been, I'm really taking us offline, but I think Julie's been really fun in the Ian and Davon exit interviews, like the, when they leave, she's just like, I'm a big fan. Like,
I'm
really
such
do
such a
think
fan
Julie.
Of yours, even more so after this season.
And I do wonder, like, when the people, like, does she not like the committee?
Yeah,
like,
I think she is very upfront about her editorializing. Like, I think if you read some of her interviews, there's that whole Janelle story where, again, this is Janelle, so take it with a grain of salt, that, like, apparently when Janelle was talking with her, Janelle's like, how is she even in there? And Julie's like, Christmas? Yeah, I totally agree. So, like, Julie clearly has thoughts. I think probably the weirdest part of it to me, besides just going off of kindness this week and doing be quick to listen, slow to speak,
and
slow to become angry, was her piggybacking off of Davon's epic speech of, I'm glad you thanked God. Now I
love
it.
God too.
That was very bizarre. But the Charlie shout out, I was like, who is Charlie Moonves? I Googled his 9-year-old kid. Do you think he's watching this? I feel like almost certainly not. Did he listen to that shout out live?
It was so funny, especially because it was. So, yes, there's that question of like, will he ever know, you know, if a tree falls in the woods, does anyone hear it? But also, like, Julie was just like, oh, crap. Yeah, yeah. Birthday. And then just like piggybacks on the back.
Yeah, it was a very Small World version of like proposing to your fiance at someone else's wedding. Right. Like taking advantage of their happiness to be like, oh, and happy birthday, Charlie Moonves, of course, who's more important than Dominique.
But I also just think like. Aren't we like trying to move away from shout outs? I mean, I guess they've given that up in the DR, but like for Julie to basically do what was seemingly an unauthorized shout out, like she was like, I'm just going to slip this in while I'm still on air. And like, did she not okay it? Like, you'd think at the end she could be like, I'd love to wish a happy birthday to Charlie Moonves, and then that would be fine. But instead, it's like, if I came and had a plug and instead dropped it in, like, now I'm going to plug something just like, slip it in here in honor of Charlie Moonves' birthday.
But yeah, that's a great point. Like if as a fan base, we decide like we hate these shout outs, we're sick of these shout outs. And then the robot Julie Chen herself like decides to drop one. Like, damn it, Julie.
I honestly
happy birthday to Akiva Whitaker today.
Oh my goodness. And I honestly think though, it goes back to that. I love that you thanked God comment. I think she thought the floodgates were open and she can say anything now.
She's like, zing.
Whoa, I can be myself? Great. All right. Happy birthday, Charlie Moonves. By the way, Les, if you're hearing this, here's what you need to get for groceries this week before I head home. Like, I want to see Julie Chen Moonves now use this for her own like personal PDA.
Julie liked you better as a robot. Zing.
Hey. I'm fine with it because to me it adds to the chaotic mess that is Big Brother, and it really just brings me joy because
oh,
it
no.
feels
Thursday's gonna be insane, by the way, between the triple eviction and Julie Chen handling the triple eviction.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know if they're gonna be able to get it done. Like, this is why they're like slightly more pre-taped, they're not like actually live, because it just feels like, I don't know, something happened where now exactly like she can be herself, or like she just feels like there are no rules. Like, it's quarantine. There's no rules. Like, Julie can just do whatever she wants. And her choices have been questionable at best. And I love it.
I all like right. the interview energy she's bringing. I do like that.
But I think it's more of a hangout now than just like, even though she is a football field away from them, she's like, I'm having a great time. But let's get into when the house guests were not necessarily having a good time and hearing from Zingbot. So here's how this is going to work. We're going to play a Zingbot specific addiction of What the Bleep. I'm going to play a clip of a zing from a season's past in which a word has been bleeped out. And I'm going to give you two choices to fill in Ooh. That blank. Now, we are also going to use this as sort of a commemoration because we are celebrating 10 years of Zingbot, people. Zingbot first came on in BB12. So this is a decade of Zingbot.
Pop your champagne, Liana. You were unprepared.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I guess I don't know, is 10 years the animal year, the tiger year, apparently?
Do you give tigers to anyone at any year?
I mean, I guess that's also a thing. I don't know when tigers fall in the, I don't know if someone has to check out a wedding website to find out if there's a specific tiger year.
Let's see. Or what would be the closest to that? Is there
a
big cat year?
Fur? Is there a fur?
13 is the big cat year, so I got you this puma, Jocelyn.
Wait, what is that called? Like, what? Not wedding, like...
Anniversary.
Anniversary gift, yes.
It's not a wedding, but it's an anniversary.
You know, the thing...
While Liana looks this up, I just realized maybe the Julie freedom has something to do with there's no live audience. Mm. Like, maybe that's... lessen the pressure. Anyway, that was irrelevant to say, but
all right, well, I'll start with you then while Liana is looking this stuff Perfect. up. So again, I'm gonna play a clip and we're gonna go chronologically, so we're gonna start with BB12 here. You're gonna hear Zingbot say a zing with a word bleeped out, and I'm gonna give you a choice of two phrases. Here we go.
Who did he say? I didn't hear the name.
So he said Hayden blank just called. He wants his hairdo back.
And can I go off script? Can I guess without the answer?
I mean, if you want to.
Yeah, double points.
Actually, you know what? I'll give you double or nothing if you want to go off book and guess who it is. If you want to take that risk, or I can give you the
chance. Can Liana steal? I don't want to do it if Liana can steal.
Liana, I won't give you a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Liana will not steal.
So you think I can't possibly guess this?
No, I want to see if you can guess this.
I feel like it could be like, Hayden. Fabio called. He wants his hairdo back, but you look disappointed.
All right. Well, let's play the clip and see if you said if he said Fabio.
Do you remember?
Hayden, Justin Bieber just called. He wants his hairdo back.
Liana, do you know that? Just by do you remember the Burns?
No, I don't. But okay. Fabio. Like long hair, so
yeah.
Hayden's hair is not Justin Bieber length.
No, the choices were going to be Justin Bieber or a caveman, and I don't know if that would have made you lean one way. Well, or the
I would have picked Justin Bieber. Damn it!
He sort of had like the weird like mushroom football helmet look, which was not really a Justin Bieber look even back in those days.
Justin Bieber's was like flatter too. Like Hayden's had more volume to it.
It's also like, to me, Justin Bieber's hair would not be an insult. Like Justin Bieber was like is a very popular.
No, I know that was 2010. So that was like the height of Bieber mania. Maybe it was, right, Hayden was a grown man and you know, I'm going to put this in now as a rule. Allie, you inspired me. You can get the choices for 1 point or you can go double or nothing and see if you can guess it.
Why would anyone do that? It's like the stupidest thing I've ever
done. What if you're behind in points and you throw a Hail Mary?
I'm going to be behind in points for sure.
Also, I can't find an anniversary that really fits with the big cat themed anniversary. I don't know if this is offensive, but the third anniversary is leather. Would that work? Yeah.
I mean,
mother.
Big cat, cow, that like those are paired yoga moves.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
All right. So, you'll also notice Zingbot goes through like puberty and reverse puberty several times over the years. The BB12 Zingbot is very different, as you'll hear from this next clip. This one's for Liana. Right. Reagan, I haven't seen anything as skinny as you since blank. Did it say toothpicks or floppy disks?
Floppy disks is so weird. Oh my God, I don't know. I don't know if you're trying to trick me.
Well, he is trying to trick you sure.
All right, I'm gonna. Oh, shit. All right, I'm gonna go with toothpicks.
All right, let's see what Zingbot said.
That is such a bad thing.
Is insufferable.
You are not the guy who had to listen to all the compilations of Zingbot clips to pull these. But yeah, the first edition of Zingbot is actually pretty bad, especially when it goes, Reagan! It was so shrill.
Mike, I had to wait for you to read it to know what it said.
Yeah, I couldn't hear it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking of just reading them, but I thought, like, let's get the audio, because I also do feel like part of the Zingbot, good or bad to it, comes in the delivery. But we'll also see, Zingbot at this point, pretty rapid fire and to the point, right? Like, Zingbot has not had his stroke yet, where he is reading things at a snail's pace. So this was the first iteration of Zingbot. We're tied 0-0.
Also, that Zing would not fly today. That's, like, a terrible Zing. Like, you're very thin. I'm worried about you. Like, that's terrible.
But also, like, depends which angle you're looking at them.
On the floppy disk, yeah. It's like a phone.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move forward one season to Big Brother 13.
Joey! Yeah!
What do you call
Okay, so
Liana's reaction to the beeping was like she was hearing the actual zing. Like she was like
it was like more offensive hearing the beep.
So, Shelly, what do you call someone who likes to smoke, hunt, and fish? Blank. Do you want the choices or do you want to guess outright?
I definitely need the choices, friend, but thank you for the offer.
White trash or a dude?
This is Shelly of Clay and Shelly, am I thinking?
No, this is Shelly of Shelly from Big Brother 13.
Oh. She was, I don't want to say older, but she was older, right?
She was older, yeah.
Okay. So both of these, again, don't fly today, I don't think. I feel like I heard two beeps. So I think I'm going to go with white trash. But I guess right. A dude is also two, but I've already now locked this in.
All right, let's listen.
Shelly! Yeah!
Okay, again, I don't endorse either of those answers, but
I think we should cancel Zingbot, or at least 2011 Zingbot.
I mean, he kind of was. He got arrested.
All right, that's what I get for trying to read the beeps. That's my bad.
All right, Liana. Let's move on to BB14 for your next question.
Dang. My 5-year-old niece called. She wants her pink back.
Oh, that's personal.
All right, so what was that personal comment? Shane, my 5-year-old niece called. She wants her pink blank back. Do you want any choices?
It's a piece of clothing, and like I remember him wearing it. I want to say it's a hat, but I think I need to get the options. We're at 0-0 here.
All right, was it hat or tank top?
Okay, yeah, hat.
All right.
My 5-year-old niece called. She wants her pink tank top.
Oh, that's personal.
Are we confusing it with Zach's
hat? Who had a pink hat?
Did Zach have a pink hat?
You're thinking of Zach who wore the pink hat in BB16.
I was thinking of the same thing. I was like, that's so cheap. It should have been two beeps. Pink blank was too easy. And then we both were wrong.
Well, speaking of Zach, let's move forward to BB16. Because as we remember, Zingbot malfunctioned in the beginning part of BB16. And Kathy Griffin came in to zing the house guests. Now we're filling in the blank with Kathy Griffin's zing here, Allie.
So dumb. What do you call someone who's not afraid to wears pink and cuddles with men? You call them Zach.
All right. What do you call someone who's not afraid to blank, wears pink and cuddles with men? Call them Zach. Do you want to give a guess as to what it is, or do you want the choices?
No, this is also a cancelable zing. Like, honestly, going through the history of Zingbot is like the dark ages. Okay, go ahead.
Kiss or cry?
So he's not afraid to kiss?
Mm-hmm.
Who was Zach kissing in that house? Maybe that's my bad memory.
Thank you, fans are adding you.
Did they kiss?
I don't know. Probably.
I'm going to say cry.
All right. Let's see what Kathy Griffin. I mean, yes, let's remember Kathy Griffin did come into the house and zing the house guest in Big Brother. Let's see what she said.
What do you call someone who's not afraid to cry, wears pink, and cuddles with men? You call them Zach.
All right. Congratulations, Allie, on the board here with Kathy Griffin.
Not proud, but I'll take the points however I can get them.
All right, Liana, let's move into Big Brother 17 for this next one.
someplace very, very special after the show.
Okay, so Jane,
no memory.
Guess what? I've heard Meg is going to take you someplace very, very special after the show. I'm assuming you want the choices.
Yeah, did I block these from my memory? Like,
did Zingbot say the friend zone or loser lounge?
I'm going to go with friend zone here.
All right, let's see what Zingbot had to say.
Guess what?
What?
I've heard Meg is going to take you someplace very, very special after the show. The friend zone.
I totally forgot that James was like trying to mac with Meg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely blocked. I was like, why didn't he say Natalie?
Because I think we remember the James and Natalie, so maybe because that was more reciprocated as to poor Meg was just stuck in there with James the entire time.
I just love that you had to come up with these answers. Like, loser lounge, God bless you, Mike Bloom. Well, in the words of Julie Chen, God bless you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you thanked God. All right, let's move on. Let's stay on Big Brother 17, though, because Allie, Zingbot had some choice words for Johnny Mac. Let's see if you can figure out a couple of them.
Bring it.
5 out of 5 dentists agree. The only thing less attractive than your laugh is your.
All right, John. 5 out of 5 dentists agree. The only thing less attractive than your laugh is your blank. Do you want the choices?
You know what's sad is, like, you hear Johnny Mac, like, doing the respectable but probably fake, like, oh, yeah, yeah, you got me. Like, he's the only one, like really happy about, fake happy about the zing. Okay, I definitely need the choices.
All right. Did he say bad breath or back hair?
Oh, I feel like I remember this, but both sound right to me. Sorry, Johnny Mac. Shit. Okay, when you said bad breath, that sounded right to me, but I feel like that's wrong. But I don't recall Johnny Mac being a particularly hairy man, but maybe I'm not watching closely enough. I'm going to go with back hair. I hope as a dentist, he doesn't have bad breath. And I hope that is what made you say bad breath, Mike.
All right, let's see what Zingbot said.
Bring it.
5 out of 5 dentists agree. The only thing less attractive than your laugh is your back hair.
Yeah, this one makes no sense. Johnny back. Oh my
Johnny
God.
Johnny back hair.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they came up with it. I do not remember Johnny Mac's back hair whatsoever.
Yeah. So I actually remembered that zing. Because I remember, like, it's, I think Steve had to, like, shave his back. There's, like, a segment where someone, maybe Shelly, like, shaves his back or something like that. But I don't think it's not a main plot point in Big Brother 17.
I'm dying. I want the clip isolated of Mike Bloom saying, like, I don't have a memory of Johnny Mac's back hair.
I believe it's been removed and placed in the pensive of my Big Brother memories. All right, well, let's move on to Big Brother 18. And let's start with the person that did not put James in the friend zone, at least until he had a deposition filed. Let's talk about Natalie, Liana. Here is Natalie Zing.
We all know you're not the brightest bulb, but luckily, what you lack in smarts, you make up for in.
Okay.
Oh no,
Natalie. We all know you're not the brightest bulb, But luckily, what you lack in smarts, you make up for in blank. Would you like any choices?
Yes, I would like the choices, please.
Armpit hair or mustache hair?
Oh my God.
So bad.
Armpit hair.
All right, let's see.
Final answer.
Let's see what Zingbot said. Why he's so fixated on body hair for some reason.
We all know you're not the brightest bulb, but luckily, what you lack in smarts, you make up for in armpit hair.
This is also around the time that Zingbot starts coming up with, like, versions of Zings. Like, you heard Sasquatch Zing. I didn't play the Fessy one, but there's going to be one in Big Brother 20 where he goes, every child left behind Zing.
I heard Sasquatch Zing on the first go-round, and I thought, I must be mishearing that. Like, I almost made a joke, like, oh, it sounds like he says Sasquatch. And then when I heard the choices, I was like, oh, my God, he said Sasquatch Zing.
All right, Allie, we're going to keep going. We're going to go back to you, and we're going to stick with Big Brother 18 as we go to someone who was not romancing Nicole Franzel then, but he would years down the line.
Victor! I was trying to think of the perfect word to describe you, and I realized it is said in Spanish. To
Did he say what kind of zing did he say?
El Zingo.
Yes. Like, I was here again. El Zingo.
So, Victor, I was trying to think of the perfect word to describe you, and I realized it is best said in Spanish, to El blank. Would you like the choices?
Yes, please.
Douchebag or asshole?
Oh, I think I remember this and being surprised that this was said. But now I'm... Oh, they both sound right. Because I would feel that way for both of them. But can you say asshole on CBS? Wouldn't it be ass bleep? I always thought it was, don't they bleep the hole? And that's
The words can get bleeped out themselves. It's not, he was saying it outright. If he does it.
Okay. You're saying that he might be saying ass and then they bleep it like they did today.
Yeah.
Okay. I do a terrible Zingbot, but it doesn't stop me from trying. I'm going to say douchebag.
All right. Let's see.
Victor! I was trying to think of the perfect word to describe you, and I realized it is best said in Spanish. To El Douchebag.
Again, a cancelable zing, I feel like. Not because of the douchebag, but why is it best said in Spanish? Like, there was no connection there.
I'm not sure.
Victor speaks Spanish?
No, but that's what I mean. Like, okay. Like, got it.
All right, Liana, we're moving forward to Big Brother 19. And you would expect there's a lot to zing people about. But let's move to everyone's favorite contestant, Alex Au, for this particular zing.
Alex!
I'm sweating.
What do you call someone with bleach blonde hair, likes to wear cat ears, and handles lots of wieners?
So, Alex, what do you call someone with bleach blonde hair, likes to wear cat ears, and handles a lot of wieners? A blank. You want choices?
So, I'm going to guess Old Deuteronomy.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I want the choices.
Okay.
I promise.
Did Zingbot say porn star or hooker?
I think this one was straight up hooker.
So this is tough because what he said was bleeped out, but it was indeed hooker. I'm not going to replay the clip. That is correct.
Yeah, I remember that one being like, first of all, I love that it was wieners. Like, that's funny. The term wiener is funny. But then to be just like, and you're a hooker. It's like, I'm sorry, what?
I also like this implication that hookers wear cat ears.
Yeah, that one is weird. I don't get that one.
I just don't. Like, for, you know, the integrity of the comedy behind the zing, I can't believe, like, the punchline was bleeped out, like, for television. Yes. Like, you can't write, if you have to bleep it, you got to rewrite it.
Can you say the word hooker on CBS? Apparently not.
No, I guess not. I don't know. I mean, they got douchebag away, and they called Brett a douche in BB20. So I guess that is sort of like, if it's a sanitary product, maybe they could do it, but I don't know if you want to call Alex out a tampon. That just doesn't feel like it works with the joke.
Man, Zingbot should get canceled.
Did you say, like, a prostitute? Right? Because I feel like CSI has gone away with saying prostitute before. Or can it only be in a murder-based context that you can say prostitute?
When it's for science, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. When the prostitute is dead, that's when you can call it a prostitute.
What if it was something like more like, what if it was like a fluffer, for example, like something that's like more specific, but then maybe it wouldn't land. I feel like it's you know, it's cheap. It's cheap writing, Zingbot.
I put a joke I'm not willing to say in the private chat that I'd like to direct your attention to.
Okay. Thanks, Allie.
Oh, good. Good. All right. Let's move forward to the aforementioned BB20. We are going back to you, Allie. This is going to be your last question. Let's see what Zingbot says about JC, not JC Moonbets.
JC! The only thing bigger than your accent is your...
I want to hear the choices, but I feel like it might be skull. Is that right?
I went to wiener.
That's not a zing, though.
So that's true. That's a compliment.
So we have just a the only thing thicker than your accent. I just had to mimic that stupid, like, I'm a farm matron calling to her children. Like, that's what that felt like. JC, the only thing thicker than your accent is your blank. The choices I'll give you are thighs or back hair.
Oh.
Sasquatch.
Wait. Now I'm struggling because, like, would it really be back hair that... How much continuity is there in the Big Brother writer's room? Like, is there, how much turnover is there? But, like, telling JC he had thick thighs is, like, not an insult. He, like, does a lot of squats, right? He's, like, a fitness guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to say back hair because I remember that being shaved. I remember that shaving of the back.
Right. Let's see what Zingbot says.
JC! The only thing bigger than your accent is your back hair.
I wish he said thighs.
Is your thighs? You look good, man.
Hell zero. Like Sasquatch sing.
ETF sing. But yes, I don't know why Zingbot or the writers behind him are fixated on back hair for some reason.
I think body hair in general. Like, how many have been about body hair, right? Because they got the armpit one, too.
Yeah, Zingbot's so shallow.
The only thing thicker than your accent. Like, again, he's very offensive to everyone, I guess. That's the point.
All right. Liana, let's go with you here as we move on from just say to Big Brother 21. Here we go.
Jessica! With the game you're playing this summer,
So, Jessica, with the game you're playing this summer, fans are already planning a convention in your honor. They're calling it blank. Would you like the choices?
I think it's something like SleepCon or Snoozeville or something like that. But yes, I will go with the options.
Either Snoozefest or Comic Confused.
Yeah, Snoozefest.
What?
Yeah, that's correct. I wanted Comic Confused, damn it. I felt proud of that. Other Mike Bloom was high-fiving me.
You shouldn't be.
That was too highbrow for Zingbot.
Oh, yeah, it should have been armpit hair weekly.
Back hair convention.
Back hair is anonymous or something.
Back hair is anonymous. All right, so we are all tied up. I don't have a tiebreaker, so everybody wins.
Right.
We all lose because we had to listen to Zingbot on repeat. But now you can see, like, so much more subdued starting off, right? I really feel like in Big Brother 16, it really started to, like, slow down. Then we start getting the drum rolls involved, which drag it out even longer to the point where, like, every Zing is now at least like 45 seconds long.
I'm excited because, and this is my Julie Chen Moonves plugging Charlie's happy birthday, but I'm doing a game. Akiva's not going to listen to this. Today is his birthday. I'm doing a game on the podcast we do this week where I've went back into his tweet history and I'm going to give him a quiz with like words bleeped out. And now I wish I'd asked Mike to record them with bleeps, like, and I could play the clips in the Zingbot impression. Akiva!
Akiva! Your dinner's getting cold! Poacher Zing!
I will say Zingbot gets more understandable as the seasons went along.
Zingbot was pretty mealy-mouthed in those first couple ones.
Right. So that was good. But, you know, hey, it's not too late, Mike. What do you have going on after this? Go record a couple of those things.
Yeah,
shout out to Zingbot's growth. No, I mean, it's not even a zing. I love how I'm just like, we're talking about just reading a man's tweets and we're like assuming they're going to be offensive to him. They will be for sure. It will be a zing.
Well, you're bleeping out words, right?
Kosher zing. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Pushing 50 Zing. So good job to both of you. You've been able to decipher not only what Zingbot said, but the punchlines that it gets set up. I think that earns you both a spot in the writer's room for next season for Zingbot.
Well, that will be a pass for me, but thank you so much.
Hold on, let me throw out some ideas I have for Zings. Okay, so hear me out. Leg hair, arm hair, butt crack hair.
Butt crack. Yeah, I like butt crack hair. I think they should all be about butt crack hair. Tyler, you're worse than Cody with your butt crack hair.
Liana, you did a Memphis zing with your caption this of the disheveled Memphis struggling.
Oh my god. Yeah, after yesterday this, morning.
Can you imagine the butt crack hair?
Think about it. It was like this weird peacock hair. I like have no idea what he's going for, but a lot of people came up with some really fantastic captions for that. So that's on my Twitter. Plug for my Twitter. It's my birthday, Charlie Moonves.
I'm thankful that you shouted out your Twitter.
So now I can shout out mine.
But also misspell my Twitter handle.
When it was JC, it was, you know, is it James Charles Moonves? Is that what who we're talking
just
about?
Hey, Moonves.
All righty. Let's move on to our next game that we have to play. And I just want to point out that in my notes, I have written with no context at all, right above the next game, Tyler shirtless in the DR - nipples in all caps.
No, please. Liana, I've talked so much about it this week. I'm full.
I know Tyler's nipples.
Too many nipples.
I was on the slop, which was very fun, for 2 hours and 11 minutes. At least an hour and 7 minutes, I would say, was dedicated to nipple talk.
Nipple talk. Nipple play. It's fine.
Would you rather my radio show and I inevitably, you know, move on from podcasting.
Would you prefer nipple talk or bidet talk? I feel like Matt Liguori has market on bidet talk.
See, we talked bidets a couple weeks ago, and I like talking about like the utility of them. Nipples is such a subjective thing, whereas I feel like bidets are like a, well, there's like a checklist, you know, like I'm Allie going through the preseason predictions of things that you need in a bidet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would like the nipple checklist now. I would like your best attempt at a nipple checklist.
All right. They need to be symmetrical.
They need to be a perfect size.
They don't want like, they want to be more pink than purple. The areolas, like we don't want, like not that skin tags are a complete like
I regret this.
I think the whole point was is that when Tyler is shirtless in the DR, I can see his nipples. They like just make the cut, like right above the line, and so now all I can stare at are his nipples. But that's neither here nor there.
My eyes were up here, Liana.
That's exactly all right. Well, let's hop on over to the casuals corner. I'm happy that Allie mentioned at the beginning. Like, oh, am I more of a casual this season? Well, let's see if that provides any insight into answering some of these questions. So first of all, I just want to say that the casuals hate this season as much as we do. Okay. Everybody hates this season.
I will say that in comparison to Survivor casuals, I do feel like Big Brother casuals are usually kind of in lockstep because I know that like they were not a fan of last season either. I don't know, we weren't on during Big Brother 19, but I can imagine they were feeling the same way. So like the fan base is actually surprisingly united when it comes to Big Brother.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There was one comment I really liked that said, this season of Big Brother is like watching a 3 mile an hour car accident in ultra slow-mo. The guests are unlikable. There really doesn't seem to be a theme for the season unless you consider sucky a theme. The Sunday, Wednesday episodes are so insanely dull. Kevin Day or David go up. The current HOH tempts the viewer with a big game move. They share it and they don't want to do it. So anyway, just wanted to point that out as an overarching feeling that the casuals have along with us as well.
I do like calling them guests instead of house guests. The guests are terrible. It sounds like a review of like what my podcast, like NGOG guests would be. I'm sure like the guests are terrible, but they actually mean
the guests are unlikable.
The review of this podcast, sorry guys.
Yeah, no, the theme of our podcast is indeed sucky, so
mm-hmm. All right, well let's go ahead and jump on into this. So the first couple questions, I'm gonna do it in the format of guess which one has more likes, so this will allow us to get a sense of what the casuals like and don't like. So I'm going to read you two comments and it's up to you to guess which one had more likes. So Mike, we're going to go ahead and start with you. These are all about Davon. A, it is time for Davon to go home. Can't wait till she walks out the door.
Wow.
Or B, I wish Day could stay, but I so want her to know how gullible she was concerning Danny and Nicole. I would love her to apologize to David.
I feel like B is the more reasonable take. So like originally we would be like, oh, this, that means it's the opposite one. But I also feel like this past week, despite like the big mistakes that she made, was actually pretty favorable today. So I would be surprised if the one getting more likes was like Day can GTFO, especially in the midst of, like you said, if that comment of the theme is sucky represents the entirety of like the fandom's perspective, you would think that they'd want to support the underdogs more. So I'm going to go with B.
Mm-hmm. So that's correct, Mike, but it was very close. So that comment had 163 likes. The first comment had 146.
Okay.
And I tell you this by saying comment B was the most positive Davon comment, really, that I could find.
Wow. So, I mean, to your point, Leon, I think her tearing into David really did not do her any favors with the fan base.
Yeah, there's one other comment that was particularly positive, but most of the casuals do not like Davon or did not like Davon.
And
I think probably because of the whole David situation.
So now I wonder, because if we're looking on like AFP Watch, since we're only like a month and change from the finale, I think a lot of the Twitter crowd was like, oh, let's push Davon for it. But if we're looking at the casuals, I think the Neil might be swinging back towards like the Janelle and Kacer side of things, despite how early they went.
So I think that's the big question is who will the casuals rally around? Because they just don't like her. But if they don't necessarily have another person that they're all going to vote for, it doesn't necessarily mean that Davon won't win, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would see my like black sheep guess is might be Tyler, depending on what he does in the next few weeks. Like if he goes against Danny, if he goes against Nicole, everyone will love him for it because they definitely do not like them right now. So mm-hmm. I think that make a very late push to becoming the fan favorite again.
I was going to say that I think the fan favorite, sadly, has yet to be determined. Like, I think that based on how the committee breaks apart, one of them is going to win. And that sucks.
I completely agree with that, because I think it's definitely yet to be determined, because recency bias also is a huge thing with voting, right, for America's Favorite Player, except for that one year when Jason Roy made it into the final three somehow, which is still unexplainable. But all right, Allie, let's go with you. And here are your next two comments. A, Julie Chen should be ashamed of herself for letting Davon make such a long speech, but telling Kevin to be brief. B, Davon for America's Favorite House Guest. One of the best eviction speeches of all time. Even Dr. Will was raving about it.
Well, how could Dr. Will have seen it in his neighbor's in the neighbor's house? I mean, I think, sadly, it's the Julie Chen should be ashamed of herself, blah, blah, blah one.
Yeah, so that's correct. I thought maybe the Dr. Will, you know, the casuals, I think, like Dr. Will, that might trip you up a little bit. But yeah, this just goes in with the whole Davon stuff. And really, there's a lot of toxicity in the Facebook page. Surprise, surprise.
Whenever you're talking Big Brother, no matter what platform it is.
I know, it always makes its way there. But there were a few comments that did give me hope. Like one person was like, watching this season has made me realize that they're wrong. There is systemic racism on this program. Seems like all the minorities have to be voted off first. And I was like, wow, this is growth. I'm like, proud of you. I upvoted their two upvotes.
You were like, I'm throwing you a kudos.
I love that Liana goes through. I'm going to look at the page now and see what it's like. Liana has liked it.
I also love this idea that like throwing them a comment is like, are they like virtually busking? And you're like throwing a coin in their hat of like, thank you for doing this. This will help put food on the table.
I support you and your education. Alrighty, Mike, let's go back to you. These are all about David. A, I hope David sticks around. David and Tyler for final two and David winning it all. I hope Danny goes soon. She is a snake emoji. I should have just said snake, but it's a snake emoji.
Did they write out snake emoji?
Yeah. All right. Or is it B? At this point, all I want to see is Memphis go before David. I'm okay with anything else as long as that happens.
Oh, that's interesting. Because I feel like the Memphis and David thing is a much bigger thing than like Tyler and David going to the final two. But Tyler is a fan favorite. I'm going to go with B because we once again had that drum beat this week of how Memphis doesn't respect David. And I think they really dug in the knife there.
Yeah, the casuals hate Memphis. Like, there's at least some positivity for Davon. There's no positivity for Memphis. They like absolutely hate Memphis. That comment had 273 likes, whereas the other one had 96. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, really not about Memphis. Yeah, we'll actually talk about that later as well.
That's where the Allie's casual opinion matches up with the other casual's opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Speaking for my people, I was literally like, I have in my notes in all caps, stop. At first I have Memphis is the most unlikable person, all in caps, in the house. And that's a real achievement. Zing. And stop insulting me. When he starts saying like the bullshit that comes out of his mouth about like, oh, Kevin and Davon, like use the veto and we told you not to. So like now you've sunk your own ship and Danny gets on board with that. Like, oh, suddenly using the veto and like playing the game is punishable. And like, Davon would have been up anyway. Her only choice was to try to save the last like semblance of the people she was working with. Ugh.
I know.
So I'm going to go like that comment. I hate Memphis too.
Oh, well, there'll be a lot for you to like.
I don't know. I personally
give them away for free.
Memphis is definitely down there. I still think it's got to be Christmas for me. Every single thing that Christmas does just unnerves me to no end. And like Memphis can at least be like sometimes entertaining with his miserliness. So I guess he barely ekes out Christmas for me.
Here's what I'll say for Christmas. And all my great zings were about her. So obviously I'm not a fan. Correct me if I'm wrong about what happened with her and David, where she goes to David and leverages the information about Nicole's vote and is like, I believe you. And like, I want to work together. I thought, and please come at me. I thought, not the listeners, please, you guys, let me know if I'm wrong. Don't at me. But like, I feel like she made the best of that situation for her game and basically gave him nothing. Like, she told him information that he already knew and used it to make a connection. Now, maybe that won't work or whatever, but at least to me, like, that approach is much better than the way Memphis approaches people to work with. Like, the way, like, that compared to how Memphis talked to David about his master plan, that if you don't fight for the veto, then I will not put you up, which is the only thing the veto would do for you. So, like, he didn't offer him anything else. He just said, like, take a dive and you'll get nothing. So I just, like, that to me is, like, I can't watch Memphis, basically, even putting together the wise guys, I can't watch Memphis alliance relationship build. It's so horrible.
I'm not a guy. It's a term.
So easy.
Yeah. So absolutely. Christmas has moments of, like, social brilliance when it comes to making these good moves. Like, exactly what you said, Allie, was she was just using information she already knew to make David feel good. But then she does other stuff where it's like, yeah, I want to keep you through the next 2 weeks. And then, like, that's it. It's like, just say you want it. Fine, whatever. But then Memphis actually has been getting praise from, like, Kevin and David for his blunt, straightforward approach.
Yeah, and that's they said yesterday, right? Like, oh, yeah. Like, Cody, you know, will try to talk sweetness to us and then stab us in our backs. At least Memphis is, like, upfront with how he doesn't like us.
He also tried to backdoor David. So, like, what?
And like, yeah, he tried to backdoor him while also making a deal that he'll protect him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe they just look, that's how I rely on people appreciating my blunt, straightforward approach to just, like, have any friends or people that tolerate me. But I guess it's working, but I don't know. Just, like, the deal he offered David, the deal he demanded of David to me was so terrible, but maybe David was in such a desperate situation. Fine. But the way that he talks to his own alliance to me also is, like, insane.
Yeah. Treats them like they're dummies. So, yeah.
No, he treats them like they're, like, a rung, like they're in a government agency and they don't have the security clearance he does. He's like, this is classified. Like, this is not for you to know yet.
That's what he did. With a David backdoor, like, you're a level 2, okay? This is level 3 and higher material.
And that's just him. That's just him sitting by into the room by himself.
All right. Allie, let's go back to you. So these are all about Kevin. A, love Kevin and his facial expressions. What a doll. Or B, Kevin has one facial expression, sad and pathetic. So tired of him.
Oh my God, I love you guys. I love that you found those. I'm trying to think of how I feel. Like, Kevin has to be frustrating for people, right? Like, I really like Kevin, and just, like, as a person, I feel like I would like to hang out with Kevin, but I feel like he's been very frustrating as a viewer. He's just around and then gets really upset, but yeah, doesn't really do anything about it.
Kevin's sort of like, his DR personality is like kind of like if Pheromone played Big Brother, right? So I have, like, oh,
I'm done.
Just without the fake lips.
Just go without me. I think it's the... I mean, I think it is. I agree with the first comment. Like, if I were to say something positive about Kevin's game, it's that he's a doll and he makes funny reactions, and, like, that's it. Like, that's, they got it. But I'm going to say it's the, like, he's got one look. They're all the same look. It's all the same look.
That is correct. Yes. That one does have more life.
Got the same silhouette every time.
One facial expression.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
One look.
All right. That completes the first part of the game. We're all tied up. We're now going to move into the second part of the game, where the format is a little bit different, but it's our classic format, where I have pulled 3 comments from the Casuals Corner and I have written a 4th comment. So it's up to you to guess the one that I wrote. All right, Mike, we're going to go to you. And these are all about Nicole.
Oh, no.
A. All I know is the wrong past winner went to the jury house. Ian equals class. Nicole equals ass.
Okay. Wait, so it was past winner in quotations?
Yes. Past winner.
I don't know if that's meant to be shade or if it's just they think that's, like, a phrase.
No, I think that's suggesting that Paul should have won. I think that's reviving the Paul should have won.
But also saying that Dan should have won too, right? They're both past winners.
Mm-hmm.
But in that case, you would also put winners in quotations instead of past winners.
No, I think that's physical only. Like, the wrong... it's not sound, but I feel like I understand the mind of the person.
Yeah, like, winner can be sarcastic. Past winner cannot be sarcastic.
Like the past, when we talk about history.
When I was a child.
Maybe they're projecting, because if you put past in quotes alone, then it's like they think she's won the season already. Past winner, she's a current winner as well.
Gotcha. Okay, good.
Well, my favorite part is always breaking down the syntax of these casual comments.
All right, well, how about the syntax of this one? B. Let me tell you about Nicole. She is more disappointing than an unsalted pretzel. C. My favorite player from Big Brother 16, Nicole, became evil this season. Facepalm emoji. D. You know what I like about Nicole? Her bathing suit. Other than that, nothing.
Okay. So I feel like you wrote either B or D, because we spent too much around past winner to make it feel like that was something you wrote. I don't know. Unsalted pretzel feels like something you would say, so I'm going to go with B.
First of all, how dare you? But yes, you're correct.
I know you too well. You're like, it's like an unsalted pretzel.
Because to me, it's like, of all the things to call someone, there's something hilarious about and calling someone.
It goes
them
with the October pretzel. Fist of it all, right? With the Germitard.
Yeah, it's all thematic. Okay, Allie, this is your favorite topic of all topics. Memphis. A. Memphis needs to go, .. He thinks he's all that, .. Yuck. B. Does Memphis employ the other house guests? He talks down to them like he's their boss. Douchey. Or should I say El Douchey?
Yes. El Zingo.
El Zingo. C. Memphis is a butt knuckle. Or D. I would like to see Memphis try to bully Dr. Will. Will would eat his lunch.
Okay.
Is that what Will's doing next week? He just walks to the house and starts eating people's lunches.
I'm trying to go with the strategy of watching Liana and see which one she laughs at the most, because that's usually the one she's written. But you were pretty good in that one. I also want to say I do order an unsalted pretzel if I'm at Aunt Danny specifically, so can't relate to that being an insult. Okay. I feel like... I feel like the butt knuckle isn't you. I hope it is, but like it could be you. All of these could be you and could be real. So great job. That's the point of the game. I really thought the all that .. yuck was real. Butt knuckle. Does he bully Dr. Will? I'd eat his lunch and employs it. I know this is bad podcasting. I need to guess, but I'm really, it's a 25% split. I'll say that I'd like to see him bully Dr. Will is real. The butt knuckle is real. So I'm going to say, I'm sorry. I'll say the first one, which is the one I was sure was the casual, is you.
All right. So that
edit all of that out.
That was real. I'm sorry, Allie. Yeah. Memphis is a butt knuckle. That was me.
Is that a term you use, or did you come up with that?
I came up with it. I don't know how. To think,
like, does that mean his knuckles are butts? Does his butt look like a knuckle?
No, he is. If you had if there was such a thing as a butt knuckle, he would be one. Just like the physical, the whole thing.
Yeah, like he is a butt knuckle.
But
get
like,
it?
If you punch someone in their butt, is that like a butt knuckle? I'm trying to put the two words together here, like to make that compound word in an image that satisfies me.
I don't know if you'll ever be satisfied, Mike, but I'm not entirely sure what it is. Like, is it a butt that's a knuckle? Is it a knuckle that's a butt somehow? I don't know.
Would you rather have butts for knuckles or a knuckle for a butt? Or do you like the relationship you have with your butt currently.
Your butt knuckles right now. Okay, so a couple other comments about Memphis. Remove Memphis. Memphis is a jerk. Memphis thinks he's so smart. Memphis, so over you. Can't wait till you get blindsided. You think you're running, you're Mr. Running the Show.
Oh, Mr. Running the Show.
Oh, well.
Mr. Manager.
That's Mr. Running the Show to you. We just say running the show. Okay. Okay, that's a butt knuckle. So Allie drew drawn...
Allie drew butt knuckles, but it sort of looks like a bunch of fingers with either noses or testicles. And now I can't unsee it.
They do. Yeah. But so it's a hand and then the knuckles are little butts. I think that's probably the best
that's
way.
That's fun. Would you have to wipe all the individual butts?
I don't think they're functional butts.
Yeah.
Okay, they're just... non-functional. They're cosmetic butts.
Yeah.
Oh, good. And there's stuff coming out of them.
I added little legs.
Yeah.
I added little upper thighs.
little thighs.
Thick upper thighs.
The JC's thick thighs. Yeah. Allie has added to the drawing. Yeah.
Just so that you could see it as not testicles or what else did you say they were?
Noses.
Maybe they're like birds in the sky. Okay. I'm sorry. I had to. Okay. Work
yeah. Head. Like seagulls in the background.
And I didn't trace. That's a good. No tracing.
You didn't make the. We're almost in time for turkey hand season. Now, or knuckle butt season, if you will.
All right, we got to keep moving. I got to go to work. Okay, Mike, we're going back to you. These are all about Dr. Will. Did Dr. Will have kabuki makeup on?
Oh, no.
B, I thought he looked like a bizarre version of Rob Lowe. C, he looked like all the characters from Team America. Or D, I can't wait to see Dr. Will in the Twilight reboot.
Oh, okay. Well, the vampire thing, I think you wrote C. I don't know who else is mentioning Team America in the year 2020.
A casual baby. I Whoa! Didn't write that. No, I wrote the can't wait to see Dr. Will in the Twilight reboot. So
I'm obsessed with the person who said he was in kabuki makeup.
It's so rude, all of them are just like, he looks like a frail ghost. It's like, that's what I would have written.
Yeah, no, it was the fact that they said all the characters from Team America for some reason also like really made me laugh.
Yeah, like
wasn't just one. Yeah, he looks like a marionette, like up there.
Yeah, he's the puppet master. Neighbor.
Alrighty.
Maybe he was. Maybe they sent out like an AI to be like the Dr. Will bot, and like that's why he looks so weird. He was. He's not actually the next door neighbor. It's Dr. Willbot.
Yeah. Did you talk about this with Rob on the slot, Mike? But essentially having like Maria the robot come in.
Yeah.
Do the zings. So yeah, it could be something along the lines of that.
I mean, Will's known for just having circuitry and wires underneath there, so I would not be surprised if they actually made one of them.
That's true. So, Allie, the triple eviction is coming up, and the casuals have a few thoughts about this as well.
Do they know what it means in the first place?
Well, I don't even know what it means, honestly.
Like, no, I don't think anybody does. I think we're suspecting that it's a double-double. So, like an In-N-Out burger, we get the first one and then the second one because it's like two hours. But let's see what the casuals have to say about this. A, triple eviction. That's a huge announcement. B, triple eviction. That means no one is safe. C, triple eviction equals hashtag BB bloodbath. Or D, triple eviction. Holy macaroni. So which exclamation do you think came from me?
If I'm going with Liana laughing at her own joke, it would be D with a bullet. I'm going to say that you laid low in your suggestions and then said, and that B, that means no one is safe, is you.
Should have gone with the laughing strategy. I couldn't help it. Triple eviction, holy macaroni.
Yeah, I realized Little Orphan Annie was writing the casual comments.
When I first thought of it, it was holy Nick macaroni, but then I was like, no, that's too obvious.
Leaping lizards, a triple eviction.
Oh, golly gee winnickers, people. But I love that one, Allie B, because triple eviction, that means no one is safe, which... Yeah. What?
Double eviction means no one is safe. Eviction means no one's safe.
No one is safe. Yeah.
So logic.
Thursday means no one is safe in Big Brother.
Oh, goodness. All right. We got two more questions to get through, one for each of you. Mike, these are just potpourri, general casual thoughts. Potpourri. A, you guys are a brunch of California asses. B, Julie Moonbutt is trash. Oh, all right. Judging by the laughing, Mike wrote that one. All right. C, what's up with that sweater vest? Or D, who is the guest dick?
Well, three out of these four hit the nail on the head, baby. Wow. So what was B? I burst into hysterics after Julie Moonbutt.
Yeah, that was B. Julie Moonbutt is trash. Oh no, we broke Mike.
And Allie's probably drawing her right now. All right, so we have Julie Moonbutt.
Yep.
What, read A again?
You guys are a brunch of California asses.
Is that in response to Cody not believing that Californian is a term?
Possibly, yes.
We have Dick. What was that? D was,
yes. Who is the guest dick?
and C, sorry, what were
was this? What's up with that sweater vest?
Ooh, I don't remember anybody wearing a sweater vest, so I'm gonna say C.
Ah, yes, that is correct. I was hoping to confuse you with there being no sweater vest,
because I could imagine like California in the summer. Like into
no
fall.
Need to imagine it, Mike, because I drew a brunch of California asses. There's two butts and a donkey enjoying a brunch in California. I indicated that it's California by drawing the Hollywood sign.
No, you didn't draw the Hollywood sign. You just wrote Hollywood
and underlined it.
Have you seen the Hollywood sign?
Hold on.
You know, that Hollywood sign with the underline.
I put it in the hills.
You gave it eyebrows.
And like a frowny face.
I think this was great. We have mimosas, we have eggs, and we have avocado toast and some sort of bowl of cereal for the donkey.
Slop, perhaps. Probably, yes. Oats, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna give all the thumbs up to Julie Moonbutt is trash. That might have won the day for me.
Julie Moonbutt, that's hilarious. I know, it's like one of those ones, man. I wish I came up with that.
Oh man.
Get them in the writer's room for Zingbot. Hire this casual. Okay, Allie, I gotta interrupt your drawing for one final question. This is also potpourri. All right, A, Kevin needs to join Ian in the jury. The headbands, bandanas, and blanket all need to go.
Oh.
B, the only thing wise about the wise guys is that they're old. Zing! C, why is Julie still not wearing a mask? Is she too embarrassed?
Embarrassed?
Or D, not even Dr. Will can fix this season.
I think it's B.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
Well done, Allie. Yeah. The only thing wise about the wise guys. And then I was just going to leave it blank. Like the casual forgot to finish their comment.
Oh, okay.
And just accidentally posted it. There was another one, which Puya was helping me sort of break down some of these comments. He nixed this one, which I wanted to read, but it says, love Enzo, but he's looking like the Unabomber. To which Puya replied, Unabomber jokes are played out.
What?
When did that happen? Did I like miss the window?
Yeah, Liana,
on
you missed. Hit its hardcore limit in 2006. We don't do that anymore. It's reached peak capacity of Unabomber jokes.
That's not funny anymore.
I'm assuming it's the look of like him with the hood up and the sunglasses, right?
I assume so. Yes.
Well, too bad we can never compare it again in the history of time. Is there going to be like, are we at mass capacity forever, according to Puya? Or will we ever like be able to say, make Unabomber jokes again?
I don't know. He said they're played out. So
when do we play them back in?
I don't know. But at least for the foreseeable future, no one's allowed to make Unabomber jokes because they're played out.
I have one final drawing.
Yes, all right, let's see it, Allie.
Okay, so this is Julie Chen Moonbutt. she has bulging moons coming out of both of her little cheeks. I put a satellite and a little spaceman in orbit around the butt. And then I notably put a mask. I couldn't decide between the high pony, which I love Julie does, and the hair down. So I did a little Ariana Grande mix of both. And then I wrote, I have no programming in my crater.
Brilliant. Oh, wow. It's no Hollywood sign, but
I'd buy that. I pay good money for that. My favorite is the satellite orbiting her butt, so you know it's a moon. Like, that's clever.
And that's for programming, I think.
I just don't know why you guys had to out me. This is not a video medium. We could have been doing like a little yes and. And I said, I drew the Hollywood sign. You could have been like, ooh, how professional and well done.
Can you please post these to Twitter using like hashtag no context, hashtag RHAPBNB? Because these are amazing, Allie. These truly are. And I think now we can like make, yes, we have knuckle butt. We have
butt knuckle. Yes.
We have Californian ass brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Julie Moon butt.
Classic. No, it's a brunch of California ass.
These are like really bad Wheel of Fortune phrases. Well, let's turn to the RTs here for our final segment. Allie, is there any particular cause or charity that you would like to draw attention to this week outside of everything going on with Big Brother?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably 5,000 and there are probably some more partisan ones I'd like to plug that maybe don't fly, so I won't. I plugged quite a few when I was back. I'm going to continue to plug the ACLU. Feel free to check out your local chapter of the ACLU or on the national level. They're fighting for civil liberties, which is essential, probably more now than ever, or it's always been essential anyway. So yes, that's my plug for the American Civil Liberties Union.
Perfect.
Fabulous.
Yeah, and I know, just to piggyback on that, I know obviously Devon brought a lot of understandable attention to Breonna Taylor, and I know that it was not a good outcome this week, to say the least. So I say, if you are as incensed by that outcome as we are, the Louisville bail initiative should be out there. Just Google that if you want to make donations to those that are fighting the good fight and hitting those streets in the name of injustice. Definitely check that out, as well as the ACLU. Allie Lasher, you are always such a delight, especially coming onto the BNB. I could not have drawn a more perfect podcast. You probably could have, because you're an incredible artist. but it was so great to have you on to talk about all this Big Brother nonsense. But I know that you have your own podcast nonsense going on, even though the challenge is MIA at the moment.
Yeah, honestly, it's a dream when I get a contact from you, both of you, to in general, but to come on here. It's so much fun. I highly recommend doing it if you can to join them on the BNB. What am I doing? Oh, yeah. So Akiva Whitaker and I have a podcast called New Girl, Old Guy. Sad to report. Here's a BNB exclusive. We like to say that we are, if you search New Girl, you will not find us on iTunes. But if you search Old Guy, we were number one for the first 5 episodes. And now, sadly, we're number 3 in Old Guy. I don't know what happened.
What is beating you?
All the wise guys took over.
But I really would appreciate you guys jumping on with us now more than ever to bring us to number one in Old Guy. But we are doing a New Girl rewatch. I've seen it a zillion times. Akiva's seen it 0 times. And, you know, we're generations apart, so it brings a fun perspective. So you can check that out at anchor.fm/newgirloldguy if you're interested, if that's intrigued you at all.
Yeah, absolutely, check it out, though. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's definitely my favorite part, is because you guys have such a gap in age between the two of you that you can look at it from such different perspectives. And I think that's really a nice thing about the show.
Yeah, it's hard though, you know. There's some things when you're generations apart that are hard to sort of come together on, but we're working through that as well.
So you're talking to a guy through pushing 50 through a sitcom that's only about like 5 years old at this point. So there's always a little bit of a learning curve, but absolutely check it out. You can follow Ali at Lash Tweets as well. You can follow Liana at Eliana RHAP. Liana, you mentioned The Masked Singer before. That is in full motion, correct?
Yes, The Masked Singer is back, baby. We are recording. We recorded our first podcast because the premiere is out. So I highly, highly recommend checking out The Masked Singer. It's so much fun. It's so stupid. It's so silly. It's just the silliness of all of the Big Brother costumes combined with celebrities and singing. And Puya and I, of course, have a fabulous time breaking all of that down.
Yeah, and predictions as well that had you copying both yourself and the show copying us, copying you, et cetera, et cetera. You can follow me at A Mike Bloom Type. Be sure to check out my exit interview with Dae Vaughn this week, where she opened up about a lot of stuff, as well as my usual stuff, Down the Hatch. We're doing some new stuff with the Great British Baking Show, other stuff going on, and Potion Recaps coming up in the next few weeks. Next week, Leon and I are going to be back here with Class of 2020 standout Chappelle is going to be here. It's going to be Chappelle's show, in a manner of speaking, as we break down everything with whatever the heck this triple eviction is. Triple eviction, holy Taloney. Yes, that's right. We're going to be breaking down the triple eviction with Chappelle next week. I'm very excited for that. If you have any game ideas, be sure to send them our way. Special thanks to John John, who got in my ear or in my crater about this Zingbot idea. This was a lot of fun to go through Zings over the years. Thanks so much to Scansia Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes, and Will from America for his awesome theme song. We'll be back next week with Chappelle breaking down week 8 of Big Brother 22. Until then, we'll check you out at your next stay.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.